Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Anyone who is a Duke Ellington fan or who has ever spent any time in New York City knows that if you want to get to Harlem, you take the A train. And that's the title of a special program tonight at The Link in the Central West End. It's a tribute to the Harlem Renaissance, a period during the first few decades of the last century when black entertainment culture exploded in Harlem in the form of music, poetry, and comedy. With me in studio are three people who are part of the evening: Beverly Brennan, Take the A-Train director, MC, and vocalist; Bobby Norfolk is a storyteller and a performer. We all know Bobby. And Brian Elsesser is a board member of the Link Auditorium and a historian. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Pretty excited about tonight?
Very.
It sounds like it's going to be a wonderful show. But Beverly, let me start with you. You have an awful lot to work with as a director.
I am very, very fortunate. Bobby Norfolk is a treasure and the man of a thousand voices. And then we have on piano Dr. Tom George, Chancellor of University of Missouri, St. Louis, and he is an extraordinary pianist.
Give us some sense of the format.
We have poetry, we have songs, we have information about all of the writers, such as Dunbar and Billie Holiday and Bobby, help me out. W.E.B. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington.
Yeah. Zora Neale Hurston.
All sorts of characters who contributed to the Harlem Renaissance in sort of a collage performance of poetry and prose and music.
How did this whole thing come about?
Well, Bobby and I met years ago, and I was a teacher, and I had him come in for workshops and to perform when I was in St. Louis Public Schools back in the day, and then more recently at Harrah-Stowe State University. And we just started talking. I taught out of American Lit textbooks, and I noticed that a lot of this stuff was not in there.
Not there, right.
No. There would be some token pieces by Langston Hughes, and most people know Langston Hughes. But we need to be reading James Weldon Johnson, and we need to understand that this was a wonderful period in American literature.
So, Bobby, this is obviously a subject and a program that is very close to your heart.
It is. From way back in the day when I was a National Park Ranger at the Arjuneal Courthouse and a history major at UMSL, I was always pulled to the whole historical references of how the Harlem Renaissance takes place in a period where it almost is like a continuum. What goes around comes around.
Are you going to be storytelling or reading or both?
Very little reading.
No reading.
The reading is in rehearsal. But yeah, Dr. Brennan wants us off book tonight.
So give me some sense of what it is you're going to be doing.
Well, one of the things that we'll talk about when Beverly and Tom, they perform I'm Just Wild About Harry, the commentary behind that is that it was the first black musical, Shuffle Along, by U.B. Blake and Noble Sissel, 1926, first black musical on Broadway in New York City. As it turns out, Harry S. Truman used I'm Just Wild About Harry in his campaign, and every time J.K. Rowling put out another Harry Potter book, Scholastic and Random House use I'm Just Wild About Harry.
But Bobby will be doing some storytelling. He tells Uncle Monday by Zora Neale Hurston. And now we've got Bobby singing. Yes, singing.
Straighten up and fly right.
And he's also doing a little bit of dancing. And he's reciting some wonderful poetry that he's actually performing poetry.
Maybe we can get you to do a little bit of that before we have to go. But let me turn to Brian. The Link is part of the story, too, isn't it? Because that's an important piece of architecture.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, the auditorium is perfect for the types of performances that Bobby and Beverly do. It was built the cornerstone was laid in 1908. It was designed by a very well-known local architect, Theodore Link, who actually also designed Union Station. A lot of St. Louisans are recognized.
And a lot of school buildings around St. Louis.
Yes, churches as well. His signature is all over this city, and we're lucky to have it. What's interesting about this building is it's done in the prairie style, which was kind of modern at the turn of the century. But what really is interesting, you have to go inside and see it because it's a 518-seat auditorium and it plays like a Stradivarius. It is acoustically perfect. I mean, we really don't need a PA system because if I speak at a normal tone of voice, you can hear me all the way in the back. So it's extremely well built.
Is it threatened somehow? Have I heard that, you know, the building may be threatened?
I wouldn't say that. I think we have some asbestos and lead paint remediation, but that can all be done. And, you know, we're working on that, and we're trying to raise money and, you know, find support for that because it's truly a gem.
I have you billed as a historian as well. Do you have any history of the period that we're talking about today?
That's funny. You should ask that, Don. So my introduction to this building actually started with a paper I wrote about women's suffrage and the St. Louis Wednesday Club. It was about 4 years ago. And when they started trying to revitalize the building, they said, hey, we should call Brian. And basically what I discovered was that the Wednesday Club in St. Louis goes back to the 1880s, and the premise was to promote lifelong education as a component to a robust democracy. Of course, these women were denied education, and that was part of the rationale for excluding them from the vote. So from the beginning, education and democracy have been intertwined with this building. And I really emphasized that in the paper that I wrote, and I talked about how some of the leaders in the Wednesday Club were strong advocates, along with Susan B. Anthony, to, you know, get the vote. And their programming, I studied that a lot too. And it was Wednesday would be 11 o'clock lecture, lunch, and then a 1 o'clock lecture. And it was always about like civics and politics and contemporary issues. Mm-hmm.
You know, Beverly, that brings us back to what you mentioned a few minutes ago, that a lot of the history that you'll be revisiting tonight is not in the history books.
No, this is some wonderful literature that for some reason or another is in the shadows. And I think that, you know, just like women who had trouble being published or recognized, or women who used other names, men's names, so that they could get published. Many of our American minority writers have written some beautiful stuff. And I think the contributions of African Americans and their literature is something that should be embraced and celebrated. And we're working on that.
Well, and this is a good way to do it with what's happening tonight. Bobby, what are your thoughts about that, the fact that a lot of this important material was kind of ignored for so many years?
It's a point of omission. And I think that when I was in grade school back in the day and then in high school at Sumner High School, there were only certain people who were mentioned in the history books, Booker T. Washington, Martin Luther King. But a lot of those other people escaped our scrutiny. And I think it was on purpose because only certain people would be noted in history. And so now in February you have Black History Month, but what I try to push is that I would like to work all 12 months, not just February.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. A lot of people have that feeling and scratch their heads that we do it 1 month a year and then in many cases just forget about it for the rest of the
year. But you know that there used to be Negro History Week?
Carter G. Oh,
so in a way we've come a long way, baby. But guess what? We have a long way to go.
There's no question about that. Bobby, perform for us. Give us a little taste of what people can expect to hear tonight.
Langston Hughes, picture this. Harlem, New York City, 1925. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes. But I laugh, eat well, grow strong. Tomorrow I'll be at the table when company comes. Nobody would dare see to me eat in the kitchen then. Besides, they will see how beautiful I am and be ashamed. I, too, am America.
Langston Hughes.
Yes.
Like I say, Beverly, you have an awful lot to work with.
directing Bobby and Tom George is sort of like rolling off a log. You know, the material is brilliant, and it almost just carries itself.
What are some of the musical material that you'll be
Well, using? Funny you should ask, because we actually open with W.C. Handy's St. Louis Blues about our own city, a very popular song during that time. And then this is sort of like a mini musical. So when the song fits the story, we do it. So we've got Honeysuckle Rose, along with Dunbar's Jump Back, Honey. We've got Ain't Misbehavin', As Bobby mentioned, we're doing I'm Just Wild About Harry. And funny, we rehearsed with Tom. And Tom said, you know, I've never played that song before, but I did find a little lead sheet. And then he just tore it up. So we're having fun with the music. And Bobby and I do a song together, Straighten Up and Fly Right.
Nat King Cole.
That's right.
Because the Langston Hughes character of Jess B. Simple, Jess, J-E-S-S, Jess B. Simple, mm-hmm. He needs to straighten up.
Yeah. Anything to add to any of this?
Well, you can like us on Facebook at the Link Auditorium, and there's a little taste of Bobby's performance on video. If you go to the Facebook site.
That was from this morning.
Yes, right. It was great. He was doing the cakewalk with some teenagers, and they were loving it. I always say anybody who can get teenagers to the stage like that has a way with young ladies.
What is the capacity at the Link?
518 seats.
And tickets are $10. There's a website. We won't be sold out. And there's a website, the Link Auditorium. It's up there. Also, a Folktale Productions website. But people could call Bobby's agent, Jan Dolan, at 968-4303 if they would like a ticket or a couple of tickets or a block of tickets for tonight.
We'll put all of that information on our website at sdlpublicradio.org. And hopefully after folks have heard you here today that maybe we'll be sold out.
That would be wonderful.
Let me ask you, Beverly, about the venue, because as Brian has indicated earlier, it's got the great acoustics and is perfect for something like this. That is certainly helpful to you as a director. And are you performing tonight as well?
I am. Okay. I'm narrating and singing, and then Bobby and I do a few things together.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes.
And Tom and I, we're sort of switching off and doing a tandem thing. Sometimes it's me and Tom, sometimes it's Tom and Bobby, and so forth.
Well, you know, you mentioned Tom George. Of course, we know him well. He's kind of like the landlord of this whole operation. And many people don't know of his accomplishments at the piano. I mean, this guy is really, really good.
He's amazing. He's doing a piano solo on Sophisticated Lady. And it's so gorgeous. The chords are just so beautiful. Bobby and I just sit there and look at each other like he could do a show by himself, for real.
Is there anything you two could do here for us that would be reflective of what you're doing tonight?
The buzzer took the monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off of his back. The monkey grabbed him by the throat and said,
listen, Jack.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. What's the use of jiving? Ain't no use in diving. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
Just like pulling teeth to get you two to do something.
And
Brian, why weren't you
Tom
joining in?
It's not my bag, man.
He's sitting over there in the corner blushing.
Is the only musical instrument on stage the piano, or do you have other musicians?
Just the piano. And Tom has a couple of piano solos. He actually opens with Duke Ellington's Take the A-Train. Mm-hmm. And Tom's arrangements and that upright piano, it's really all we need.
I would think so.
Yes, he has 200 songs on his playlist. I saw it.
Really?
Yes.
But, you know, this is a one-night stand, if you'll pardon the expression. It seems to me that something like this could go for more than a single
We're
night.
So hoping that this is sort of a kickoff thing. We're so hoping that people will take the A-Train and go back and read some of this stuff or listen to the music. But we're also hoping that we can book this show into schools or businesses for a diversity activity or anywhere, because I think the show, now that it's going to be up and running, is going to be one that will be not only enjoyable, but also very educational.
Right. Now, Brian mentioned the Facebook link thing with the cakewalk. Now, that was a totally different show at 10 o'clock this morning, mm-hmm. Don. That was my performing Scott Joplin, The History of Ragtime. And so there were students in the audience that I got up to do the cakewalk, which is part of the Scott Joplin show.
How do you keep all this stuff in your head?
He was driving home last night from another show out of town, rehearsing the stuff for the two shows today.
That's kind of mind-boggling. If you don't need to keep it all in inside there and ready to go at a moment's notice?
Yes, sir. I have to say to take these different things and put them in different compartments of my brain.
Oh, he's smarter than he looks. He's doing everything.
Can I get you to do something else for us that will tease the audience for
How
tonight?
How about jump back? We can all do it with you.
Oh. Paulus Dunbar, 1890, okay? Trio, when I point, you say, jump back, honey, jump back. You ready for this, Don?
I know, you ready?
I'm ready.
I seen my lady home last night.
Jump back, honey, jump back.
Yeah, held her hand and squeeze it tight.
Jump back, honey, jump back.
Hey, hear her sigh, a little sigh, seen a light gleaming from her eye, and a smile go flitting by.
Jump back, honey, jump back.
Yeah, I heard the wind blow through the pine.
Jump back, honey, jump back.
Yeah, the mockingbird was singing fine.
Jump back, honey, jump back.
Hey, and my heart was beating so, when I reached my lady's door, that I couldn't bear to go.
Jump back, honey, jump back.
Yeah, I put my arm around her waist.
Jump back, honey, jump back.
Yeah, raised her lips and took a taste. Ooh.
Jump back, honey, jump back.
He said, love me, honey, I love me true. I love me well as I love you. And she answered, of course I do.
Jump back, honey, jump back.
All right. Beverly, how did all this stuff get pulled together? I mean, there's so many different elements here. Is there a single person that said, let's just put all of this in a basket and do a show?
I think Bobby and I sort of said that together. Yeah. And we worked together on the compilation and the editing and the narration of the piece. And it was over the course of a pretty long time, really, a couple of years.
Wow, that's...
Yes.
That is something that you have to really take into consideration, that these things just don't happen overnight. It's like an overnight success, right?
Exactly. A 30-year overnight success.
Yeah. So let's take a moment to find out a little bit more about each one of you. Bobby, you've been on the program before, and people know you, but how did you get into all of this? Not just tonight, but what you do.
My humble beginnings. I stuttered from kindergarten to the 10th grade, mm-hmm. and it was... the fact that I had drama teachers and language arts teachers at Sumner High School that saw things in me I didn't see in myself. And so they put me in all of these different acts and plays, glee club, choral, talent shows, poetry recitals, whenever I performed, wouldn't stutter. Until one day, my 10th grade teacher said, young man, you need to study some meditation techniques. So I'm with that. Within 3 months, the stuttering stopped.
I'll be darned.
And the career began.
It's really hard to believe that you got that kind of a start. There are some performers that tell the same story, that got into performing and acting because they had a stuttering issue.
Exactly. James Earl Jones, Bruce Willis stuttered.
You know, one of the things, and this, I'm digressing here, but one of the things that always has struck me as odd is that people who stutter do not stutter when they sing.
Like Mel Tillis.
Mel Tillis is a good example
yes,
of that.
Exactly.
But others as well. I mean, and I think that's part of a therapy that is sometimes used to help people stop stuttering.
Meter, rhythm, and rhyme is what I found out when I did my research on stuttering and how meter, rhythm, and rhyme, tongue twisters help a lot too, stopping the stuttering. Yeah.
Well, we are digressing a little bit when we were talking about that. Beverly, how about your own story? You taught at one time, but then you...
Well, I retired in June after 45 years of teaching. I always loved music and theater and performing. I did the Muni, and I was the vocalist with the Fox Theater Orchestra for about 10 years. And so after teaching, I sort of wanted to go back to my roots. I had been meeting and working with Bobby, and we came up with a few ideas for shows that we could do together. So we have this one. We have our Ville in the Hill about our neighborhoods, and I think you talked with us once about that show. Mm-hmm. We have a holiday show about Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa, called Glad Tidings. And so I'm sort of going back to my roots of performing. I thought I would wait until my 60s to get back into it again.
Well, we're all glad that you did get back into it. Brian, what about your story?
Well, I've been a history professor for 24 years, and I've always had an interest in local history, and I still do. But I'm a sucker for old buildings, too, and I want to save them. And that's how I got dragged into this thing. And we're it's a beautiful thing.
Shaking and screaming.
It's a lot of work, but it's very rewarding. And, well, we just really hope that we can get that building in top shape and do more programming. We had a charrette this weekend, or I'm sorry, not this weekend, Tuesday, and there was clearly a lot of interest in us bringing back programs with local history content.
How often is the building used for performance?
Well,
we have renters.
Yeah, I mean, we have something going on every month. There's a lot more capacity on the calendar. So I just say we're starting out, but there's a lot of room, and there's availability for theater companies, dance companies that would like to use the facility.
In other words, if people are looking for a venue to perform, this is one to consider.
We're open for business. Should I give my number?
Give it, give it, and we'll put it on our website as well.
Okay, it's 314-495-6520, and we got rates that can't be beat.
All right. A lot of people do not have pencils in their hands when they're driving, but we'll get it on the website, stlpublicradio.org. Very quickly, I have an email here from Christian who says, I'm a local swing dance instructor listening to the show featuring the Harlem Renaissance. I wonder if the Lindy Hop will be featured. There was a vibrant Lindy Hop scene in St. Louis, like in most U.S. cities, and that, along with swing music from places like the Savoy Ballroom, is one of the biggest impacts of the Harlem Renaissance. Any Lindy Hop?
Well, we're not dancing the Lindy Hop, but now that she has emailed, we'll put it in the show.
All right. Bobby, get on that right away with something else for you to consider.
I get off the onicare and the Bengay and we'll get it done.
Yeah. We've all reached that Bengay stage, believe me. Beverly Brennan, thank you so much for being with us. Bobby Norfolk, thank you. Brian Elsesser, thank you for being with us. Hope you fill that venue more often than not.
Thanks so much, Don.
Great
thank
having you,
you
here. Thank Once
you.
Again, take the A train at the Link on Westminster. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. It is not sold out. Tickets available. We have information on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Thank you again. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Alex Hoyer and Laura Hamden, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Char Dastin, and Spencer Reed. Executive producer is Mary Edwards. St. Louis on the Air, a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.